Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our salvation. Amen. Well, we have entered into the season of Lent. Easter is April 4th. Already coming up. Ash Wednesday was last Wednesday. This is the first Sunday in Lent. Now there are 40 days of Lent. Lent doesn't include Sundays. Sundays are always mini resurrection days. It is a custom that we use the season of Lent to identify with Jesus Christ on his way to the cross. And then, of course, his resurrection, and to consider our own discipleship. And what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? The three things: there's prayer, there's almsgiving, there's fasting. Three core things of a Christian disciple that are examined during the season of Lent, and especially probably through our whole lives if we're serious about being a Christian. So today is the day that we look at the temptation of Jesus. It's what is commonly done through all of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, on the first Sunday of Lent. Mark is a very abbreviated version of it. It starts off with the baptism of Jesus. It goes into the temptation of Jesus, which is only two verses. It's really very short, and we'll get into that in just a moment. You might be wanting to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, and later on we're going to be looking into the book of Hebrews, so you might want to just kind of bookmark that area too, so we can turn to it when we reach that point. I didn't know what to name my message for today: overcoming temptation or life after baptism. Because many people think that once you're baptized and once you become a Christian, nothing but good things are going to happen to you. That certainly isn't a testimony of the saints that have gone before us or those of us who are practicing discipleship now. That is simply not true. There's a verse in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, that says, "All things work together for good for those who love the Lord." Now, you might think at first blush that that means everything good is going to happen. That's not what it says at all. It says all these things work together for good. So those bad things that happen to us in our lives, the times that we struggle, the times that we fall, those are times that God is using to build up our faith, to restore us, to make us stronger. And we're going to look at four things today about resisting the devil and then what comes after that with the kingdom of God being at hand. So I'm so glad you're with me. Let's get right in to Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending into him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit drove him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with wild animals, and the angels attended him. That's the whole temptation narrative in the Gospel of Mark. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And these are his words. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks to you, O Christ. So the 40 days that Jesus is in the wilderness is the model of 40 days of Lent, or 40 days of fasting. Oftentimes people give something up for Lent. Well, the first thing I want to take a look at in this reading is we all must face the devil's temptations. Amen. None of us get through life with just a little cloud around us. You know, I heard this one woman say, you know, my mother brought me up in a 16th century kind of a lifestyle and then turned me loose in the 21st century. I just wasn't prepared for it. You can't raise your kids and you can't continue life in a bubble. We are in the world and there are bad things in the world. There's wonderfully marvelous things in the world too, but there are some terribly evil things in the world too. We cannot be kept from them. We have to recognize right off the bat that we will be facing temptations because the devil is like a lion seeking those whom he may devour because he knows his time is short. Christ has won the victory. Can I get a hallelujah? By his death and resurrection, he has defeated Satan, and yet we are still here occupying until that time he calls us home or the time that he returns to restore all things to glory. But the tempter does not have the power to make someone do something. Temptation is not coercion. The serpent in the garden didn't make Adam and Eve eat the apple. He made them want to eat the apple. Satan in our text can't make Jesus turn against God. He can just make him want to go on his own path. The tempt means to try to convince someone to do something. It means enticing them. It means making them want to do something. Tempters can't make someone do something bad, but they can try to make the temptee want to do something bad. Are you following the difference here? They don't take away the will. They just try to change our will. In my own experience, I've discovered that when I sin, it's not a problem of knowledge. I usually know what is good and bad. We've known that since Adam and Eve. It's just a problem of my willpower. I just want to do the bad, which can appear very attractive. Or there are times when I don't want to do the good. Amen. The devil can't make us do anything. This is why it's so important that we stay close. We stay in the Word of God. The Word of God is like a river. And if we stay close to the Word of God and in prayer and fasting and doing the things that God asks us to do, we're like a tree planted by the river. We're nourished. Our roots go into that water and the wind can come and blow, but we will stand. But we will be tempted. The second thing is that the more we resist Satan, the stronger we are. Can I get an amen? I said the more we resist Satan, the stronger we become. But the less we resist Satan, the more that we give into Satan, the more power Satan has over us. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and in this book, the boy that's in it is being attacked by the wicked queen. This little boy's name is Edmund, and this wicked queen has set before Edmund this wonderful Turkish delight candy. He's never tasted anything so good. It's rich. It's wonderful. It's awesome, but it's enchanted. The more of it he eats, the more of it he wants. Now, this candy will never fill him up. It'll never give him any nutrition value, but he will just keep wanting it and wanting it and wanting it. And that's the evil queen's goal, is to get Edmund to eat just that so that he dies. Isn't that a great metaphor for sin? Sin looks so good. It looks so filling, but it's not. It's all a lie. It looks good, but it can't deliver. It won't deliver. It just makes us want more of it, but it leaves us empty. The more we give in to Satan, the more powerful he becomes in our lives. That the more we resist Satan, the stronger that we get. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God. That's the first part. Submit yourself. Give yourself over. Let him be in charge. You are not the captain of the ship. God is. Give up control. Let him in the driver's seat. You know, I've seen a bumper sticker before that said, God is my co-pilot. I want to tell them, move over. You need to be the co-pilot. God needs to be driving your car. God needs to be in charge of our life. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because the devil can't stand against God. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is much more powerful than that toothless lion that's seeking to destroy us, as described in the epistle of 1 Peter. I want you to turn now to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 14 through 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, talking about Jesus here, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Isn't that a beautiful description of what Jesus did? He came into earth and restored us to his kingdom. He bound Satan. He took away Satan's power. He gave eyesight to the blind. He raised the dead. He cured the lepers. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. Now I want you to, so what does this mean for us? I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through the end of the chapter. And it goes like this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. Let's not be pushed from side to side by any wind of desire or want or change. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Therefore, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus Christ took on flesh. He took on our humanity. He knew what it was like to be rejected. He knew what it was like to face injury, to face death. He was born. He died. All the elements of being a human. He was hungry. He was cold. All of these things he experienced, and yet he was without sin, so he could pay the price for our sin. Because if Jesus would have committed one sin, his death would have been for that sin. But he was the sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so he came into this earth to be born under the law, to fulfill the law, so that he could take our sin upon ourselves. Wow. And he knows what it's like to face the devil, and he has already won the victory. Jesus wasn't alone in the wilderness, and neither are we. Now, someone asked this little girl in Sunday school said, what would you do if Satan came knocking at your door? And she looked right at the teacher and said, I'd ask Jesus to answer the door for me. Isn't that a beautiful answer? I'd ask Jesus to answer the door for me. And that's the key. We're not left to do this alone. Jesus walks with us. The Bible tells us that I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the very end of the age. The Bible also tells us this: greater is Jesus who is in us than the devil who is in the world. We have all the resources we need. We just have to use them. because we are in a battle. Do not be deceived. There is a spiritual battle raging on. Satan is a sore loser. He didn't like to be defeated when Jesus died on the cross and God raised him back from the dead. He can't get to Jesus, but he can get to God's children. That's you and I. And that's what he's trying to do. The temptations are trying to get us to move away from God. And it can happen slowly over time. A little bit here, a little bit there. And before you know it, you're miles away from God. And you wonder, how did this ever happen? The devil is sly. We have to be on guard. Be alert. Stay rooted in the Word of God. Keep focused on God in prayer and meditation on his word. Take care of our neighbors and take care of ourselves. And then Jesus goes out and preaches. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's good news for us. Terrible news for the devil. Because the devil had his way with us for a long time since Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit. He was the Lord of this earth, but Jesus came in to bind him, to take away his power, to take away his authority. Let's look at how Mark describes it. So after Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand, he goes and preaches a sermon in Capernaum. He's in the synagogue, and in the middle of the sermon, a man who's possessed by a demon stands up and says, I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of God. Have you come to destroy us? What do you have to do with us? And Jesus looked at that man and said, be quiet and come out of him. Another person was restored from the grip of the devil into the kingdom of God. That's what it means when it says the kingdom of heaven is near. And then Mark goes on to describe, after Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they went into Peter's house where his mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Jesus went in, picked up her, held her by her hand and helped her up. And immediately she was healed and she began to serve them. The kingdom of God is at hand. Later on that evening, all the town came out, and Jesus healed them all. He drove out the demons of many, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then later on, in chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, Jesus encountered a man with leprosy. He healed his leprosy and told him to go show himself to the priest so that he could be restored to the community. You see, leprosy just wasn't a dreaded physical disease. It also made you be removed from your community. You couldn't worship. You couldn't be part of your home. You had to stand back. And anytime somebody got near, you had to shout at them, unclean, unclean. If you didn't, they could throw rocks at you. So Jesus not only restored the flesh, but he restored his spirit. He had him go to the priest so he could be restored to the community. The bottom line in all of this is that we will be tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he was victorious by quoting the Word of God, by knowing the Word of God, by walking with his Father through all of things. We too will be tempted. But we have to remember that Jesus came and bound Satan. He has stripped him of his power unless we give it to him. So remember, we will be tempted. We get stronger when we resist temptation and stand up against the devil. We're not alone. We don't do this by ourselves. And the last thing I'd like you to remember is that the kingdom of God is at hand. So walk with the King, be a blessing, go out and give him heaven, people of God. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.